just 2 days after leaving Radio 4's Today programme, the presenter John Humphreys has criticised the BBC, saying there's a form of institutional liberal bias within the BBC and that he's now free of the BBC thought police. In his book, A Day Like Today, Humphreys also said the BBC was terrified of offending fashionable pressure groups, usually from the liberal left, the spiritual home of most bosses and staff, he said. You can let us know what you think about the BBC. Do you think that type of liberal bias exists? With me now, the Observer columnist Andre Walker. Morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning. And the journalist Malachy O'Doherty.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, Andre.
Do you recognise this bias, Malachy? Do you think it exists?
Yeah, I think it probably does. I think it's a good thing. I think I'm not sure that it is a bias in the sense of something being dictated from above. I think basically a lot of people who work from the BBC have come through a fairly liberal, humanities-orientated educational system, and that has a liberalising influence on their thinking, and I think that extends into broadcasting.
But the BBC is a broad church, isn't it? People from all different backgrounds are in this organisation.
Yeah, they are, yeah. I was in it for a while myself, and I knew a diversity of people, but I would say that generally speaking, the kind of discussions that we had on programmes like Talkback, Sunday Sequence, even the Nolan Show and others, you know, where we were looking at items and how do you address items, I think tended to come from a perspective of asking the question that undermines the more assertive dogmatic position, and the right tends to be more assertive and dogmatic. So I think journalism itself is almost, well, not universally, obviously, because there are exceptions to it, but at its best, I think it is a liberal energy, and that's what it's for, and that's the best part of it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think the BBC has got a bible of regulations and guidelines that keep the balance right, and I think even sometimes it's too balanced, and problems arise from that too.
I think that any BBC journalist listening to that is going to be kind of tearing their hair out, simply because somebody from my perspective would say that the BBC is kind of, yeah, I would agree that the BBC accidentally recruits people who actually are from quite a similar political background and have similar beliefs. But I think that the idea that that is something deliberate and that is something that's marvellous and something the BBC should be extremely pleased about, I don't think is reasonable. You know, you have to remember something, that any news outlet in the world will base its news decisions on bias. So fairly obviously, a Ugandan newspaper is going to not report very much stuff from Belfast and vice versa.
Well, there's a difference between a newspaper and a broadcasting outlet for a start, and within the British regulatory system, broadcast outlets are regulated in a way that newspapers are not.
Hang on a second. The point I'm making is any news agenda is going to be biased. Now, forget whether there's a formal legal regulatory system around it. Any of it's going to be biased. Now, from the BBC's point of view, what they have to attempt to do is to be neutral or hold the centre ground in what is quite a large and disparate country. And I think the point that John Humphreys made about Brexit was a good one, which is that, you know, I meet people all the time who say that they've never met a Brexit voter. And if you are somebody who, say, works in an investment bank in the City of London, who, I don't know, reads one of the Guardian or whatever, and sort of hangs around in bars in Shoreditch, you will never meet a Brexit voter.
Yeah, but it's the BBC we're talking about. You're not suggesting, Andre, that is what makes up the BBC workforce.
Well, I will make one joke to you. I remember Andrew Neil once made a joke at BBC Westminster that the only newspaper you could never get hold of was The Guardian, because no matter how many of them they bought, BBC staff would always run for them first. And I think there is a feeling. Look, the number of people, I mean,
in their sandals and their khakis.
It might be quite hard to get a Guardian in BBC.
Can I ask Andre a question? Why did you say forget the regulations and guidelines? What did you mean by that? Do you not think that the regulations and guidelines within British broadcasting are a good guarantee of balance and a good corrective to any kind of bias that might creep in?
Well, actually,
why do you say forget them?
What I meant was that newspaper bias is not necessarily different to radio bias.
Well, it's massively different. I mean, the Daily Telegraph declares itself to be a conservative paper. The BBC doesn't declare itself to have a political agenda in any sense.
The problem is we're walking down a road here that I'm not intending to go down. The point I was making was any news outlet will have bias based on it's based on some fairly obvious factors. Now, if you choose to regulate...
What are they? I mean, I think the bias that creeps into news creation, if it's is basically what's available, what's local, what's accessible, you know, and I mean, the bias is in the selection of stories, if you like.
Well,
I mean, the biggest story of the last week, I would just say, really, in global terms, is the Iranian attack on Saudi Arabia.
But I think a more useful discussion this morning is also, you know, here's John Humphreys giving opinions on the BBC. What do the public, Andre, let's start with you, actually want out of the BBC in terms of its news coverage? What range of voices does it want? For example, the Nolan Show would have been criticised quite a lot over recent times, actually, for us having some commentators on the programme who would be seen to be on the edges of society, who would be seen to be not welcomed by others. What do you expect out of the BBC, Andre?
Well, Stephen, I think that is a very difficult question, and it's an ongoing process. You know, you can cover a story in a way that is considered to be responsible and neutral, and then the following day, a story can come along and you can go completely the other way. I mean, look, you know, I'm reluctant to tell BBC Belfast how to behave, simply because it strikes me on the face of it that they are going to be one of the teams that finds it most difficult, because there are so many different views and sort of, you know, on some occasions in history, violently opposing views in the province.
I don't think that makes it more difficult. I think actually because there is a plethora of views in Northern Ireland, it actually makes it easier. What you do is you just represent all of those views.
Well, that's right, but
doesn't make it difficult.
As I say, but, well,
maybe Andre doesn't know BBC Northern Ireland.
I think the interesting territory, Malachy, and obviously this programme has gone into this before, is when you do get powerful forces in Northern Ireland suggesting that certain voices should or shouldn't be allowed on the air. And it is genuinely an interesting conversation to ask why. Like, for example, people who would have a paramilitary background, should they be kept off the air because people with a former paramilitary background are throughout politics in Northern Ireland? There's one
that's
example.
Exactly right.
There's
can't
one example.
You can't exclude those voices. I mean, I think essentially the BBC is the best broadcasting outfit in the world. I mean, not that I would know, but I mean, it's this brilliant outfit that is flawed in many ways, as all human institutions are flawed. Does have a liberal bias arising out of because there's a liberal bias within society, there's a liberal bias within humanities education, there's even a liberal bias now in the churches. You look at light entertainment on the BBC, like Strictly Come Dancing, and you've got this huge kind of celebration of sexuality within it. You look at The Last Night of the Proms, it's as camp as be damned. You know, you have people talking about it as if it's chauvinistic and conservative. It's nothing of the kind. It's this big parody of the whole idea of chauvinism. And that runs, all that humour, all that questioning of values, all that questioning of authority goes into the BBC. But to say that you don't hear Brexit voices, that's the voice of somebody who's never watched Question Time and seen audiences packed with pro-Brexit voices. So the feeling that I think the BBC has it sometimes in its obsession with balance, it will find a balance of opinion against expertise, you know, on issues like Brexit, on issues like climate change. And that becomes an absurdity. And I mean, one of the things that was wrong with the whole Brexit argument was this denial of the right of experts, you know, to share their expertise, because expertise in itself was a suspect thing.
Here's Martin Ballymurphy. Morning, Martin.
Hello. Talking about bass, Stephen. You're top of the page, mate, for being bass.
Thanks very much.
Well, to be sarcastic about it, that's not a thing that you should be thanking me for. The things that you do are unbelievably bad.
Like what?
Like the stories you do, and the stories you don't do.
Like what?
Like, I'm going to tell you. You've never done a thing on the Ballymurphy Massacre, the inquest. Never done a thing on it.
That's not true.
It is true.
We've had John Taggart on, for example, lots of times. It's just
John
not true.
Taggart, you have John Taggart on. When you have John Taggart on, or anybody to do with the Ballymurphy massacre or things like it, you put people up against them to challenge their right to have an inquiry. You don't talk to them about the inquiry. You haven't done one show about the Ballymurphy inquest, about the lies the soldiers are telling, the Alzheimer's they seem to have, all the things that's going on.
And you're on talking about that now?
No.
So where's the bias?
Listen, don't be giving me up on that. That you're, don't be saying that that makes you unbiased because I'm on your show talking.
I think the note that you left the phone in room was Nolan's at the top of the paid list.
Exactly.
But right, I don't think he'd be giving me a call back to say why he is so biased. And of course, we did call you back.
Stop talking and let me explain then. It's not just about the Ballymurphy massacre.
Yes.
Right?
Well, if you want to stay there, we'll give you more time because it's news time now. This is Martin and Ballymurphy with more. Good morning, Martin.
Hello. Well, we're talking about you're supposed to be an unbiased commentator.
I'm not supposed to be a commentator at all.
All right, well, a journalist, an investigator, a so-called investigative journalist.
I detect a little bit of cynicism in what you say about me.
No, I'll tell you what to do, Stephen, right? I don't like you, full stop. I don't like the way you operate. Full stop. That's just that. I don't know you. I just don't like the way you operate.
Yeah.
In general.
So you don't know me, but you don't like me.
I know what way you operate as a so-called journalist, and I don't like the way you operate. So I'm going to explain. I'm going to say a few things. I wish I'd had the wit to write a list of things down for each time. But anyway.
I'm sure you'll remember some of them.
Jesus, you're sarcastic beyond belief. No, I'll tell you what way we can run this for the next whatever time I'm going to be on.
Yes.
Pretend I'm George from Shankill. Just pretend I'm George from Shankill.
Okay, George, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. You're a smarmy git, I'll tell you. Right? Pretend I'm George because George can get a full run at anything without interruption. Right?
That's not true.
Here's a wee bit. It is true. Let our people phone up, the same as me. Let people phone up who have the same mindset as me. Take their call.
Now, you're getting loads of time, so come on,
right,
spit it out.
Right, here we go. Right, the Ballymore, you interviewed Breech Foyle. Great interview on your Five Live show. You told John Taggart you were going to play it on this show. You still did do it. And what that interview done was it give Breech Foyle's mother... A human, give her dignity, and she explained things about her mother. Whereas her mother and everybody else from the Ballymurphy massacre was character assassinated, that there were gunmen and gunwomen. Why don't you do a show on them, innocent civilians? Right, there's one, Ballymurphy inquest. Julie Livingstone, just for example. You were doing Mickey Mouse shows while there was a story out there that Julie Livingstone feds were being locked away for 50 years, and I phoned you about it and says, why are you not doing a show like this? Oh, we will do shows like that. You still haven't done it. See, anything that's to do with state violence, you will not touch it. You will not go there. You will not delve deep the way you delve deep into Republican violence. You will not touch them stories, so you won't. And you won't give them innocent people a voice. The biggest show in the country that's supposed to help people, you won't give them a voice because you're a scared. You are a gutless journalist. Are you there?
I'm listening.
Right, so there, what have you got to say about that?
I would say thank you very much for your call. You're entitled to your opinion.
No. This isn't just me having an opinion. This is fact. And see all this, you're entitled to your call and we put you on. What have you got to say? Are you going to do anything? Are you going to give these innocent people, innocent, murdered, slaughtered on the street? I mean, you had a woman on talking and she was explaining about the things the IRA done. This was a few weeks back. And you says, explain what you've seen. Explain, tell me what you've seen. And the woman was saying, I seen heads blew off. I seen arms. You need to explain it so as people see. Explain what the British soldiers done to these innocent people. Let them people on explain.
Which you're getting an opportunity to do now, Martin.
Listen, I'm just making a point. I'm asking you to give them families a voice because their families were character assassinated. I can't find the word I'm looking for. But not only were they murdered, they were slandered.
Yeah.
Everything.
all the British tabloids
and
ring out.
And I think, Martin,
I don't say, hold on a wee second, I don't say, oh, you're on the radio saying this. I'm just pointing out something.
Sure.
I'm saying to you, you give these people a voice. Gary Armstrong was on before his brother was murdered. He asked you to do a show about his brother was murdered by the UVF, I think. For Yonks, he's been on this show a few times, and every time you cut him off. You've never spoke to Gerry Adams about his brother being murdered and about what that collusion went on in the murder and anything like that to her. You're scared of it.
Okay. Well, Martin, obviously...
Last wee second.
Yes.
No stone unturned. Two journalists arrested for making a film about collusion. You never done a show about it. Your comrades, you're supposed to be, you all stick together. You never even done a show about it. Two journalists being arrested. You never done one show about it. And that's the biggest thing going. Journalists, people being arrested for doing their job. You never done one show about it. Now, if you say, if I'm wrong, and I'll apologise. And I guarantee you, I'll not have to apologise.
Sure.
Because you have no balls as a journalist.
Okay. Well, I think, first of all, I can hear the genuine passion that you have, and these are clearly deeply held views, Martin, and you're clearly angry. What I would say to you is that we will take on board what you have said. I would push back slightly in that when you're questioning editorial decisions that we're making on the programme, you know, the Nolan Show could run from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is so much material and so many people asking us to do different stories. And as a team, we come in here in the morning, we do our best, and we got to make a call somewhere along the line about what stories we do and what stories we don't do. I would point out to you that the Nolan Show is just a little part of BBC Northern Ireland, that there are many other programmes across the schedule, and there are many other good programmes across the schedule. And so I am playing a small part in the bigger picture. And for you to say that because we don't cover certain stories, that means you do not like me personally, and then all of those insults that you hurled at me this morning, Martin, maybe you need to take a wee look at anger management within your own head. William in Belfast. Good morning, William.
Good morning, Steve.
Morning.
Stephen, I don't dislike you, but I'm going to challenge you on this. Your hero, John Humphreys, you fawned over him. You aspired to be John Humphreys. And now John Humphreys has been saying what we've been telling you, and you've been denying.
What's that?
That Brexit. The BBC institutionalised against Brexit. Never forget that sneering at Anne Whittlecombe that morning. So your hero is saying what the majority of us have been thinking.
Well, I think John Humphreys is an excellent broadcaster. I certainly do. But when you're talking about, this is where I'd push back, William. That when you talk about the bias within the BBC, for example, about Brexit, you talk about the BBC as if it is this homogenous entity. I'm sure management would sometimes like it to be, but it ain't. You've got people in the BBC across the whole breadth of the BBC from different walks of life making different decisions. So how could the BBC be biased? Think about it.
Well,
you've different programme teams all across the world. Let's take the UK. You've different programme teams led by different editors making decisions around a story. So even if the BBC wanted to be biased, William, and it doesn't, one second, even if the BBC wanted to be biased, how could it be? How could it organise itself to be?
Well, you're a most experienced presenter, 32 years, that I'm sure will get a knighthood soon, has thinks different. And he is in pole position to see that, clearly.
What's his opinion?
On the Today programme, seeing that bias.
What's his opinion?
In spite of Brexit, there's jobs being, there's investment in spite of Brexit. It goes on. And you, on Five Live, personify it.
I do.
You need deny, turn around. You're taking the BBC attitude towards it, which John tells you have to take. Now that John's free from it, we get the truth.
So you don't think you get the truth from me?
I'm
Are you serious?
We're getting the truth from John when he's left the BBC. We're getting you defend it. You have to defend who...
I don't have to defend. Listen, I don't.
Of course you do.
I do not have to defend who pays me. I can tell you this now. And listen, William, you know, there have been recent examples of broadcasting that the Nolan Show has done, which hasn't given the BBC, you know, a nice easy ride.
Stephen,
all right, and I've got the freedom of this, and as long as I stick to the editorial guidelines around impartiality,
Stephen,
I can.
When?
No, but let me. I think this is important for you and everyone else to know. I have never, in the 15 years I've been in BBC Northern Ireland, there has never been a manager or anybody who is one of my superiors coming to me telling me not to do a story. They have never, ever done it. And if they did do it, I'd tell them where to go, but I have every confidence that they would never even try.
Stephen,
it's not who those people are.
When have you ever done a story or examined the anomalies, irregularities that there is in Europe, the problems that there is in Europe? It's not done. And to turn around and...
What about all the other BBC? It's not just about what the Nolan Show does.
No, I mean, we're talking about you and...
I am not the BBC. I'm a very tiny, inkly, winkly, tiddly-widdly part of it.
You're a tiddly-widdly and Five Live. You're speaking to the whole nation, and I hear it regularly, that biased against Brexit. Now, here is... That's a test for you. Bring John Humphreys on and turn around and question him how he got to that.
We'll ask John for an interview. We'll do that.
More experience than you. Far more experience than you.
We'll do that.
Okay.
You do enjoy the Nolan Show, though, because you seem to listen to it an awful lot.
Listen, you're coming from a slanted point of view there. You have to know what's going on, and you can find out in Northern Ireland what's going on through you, whether you agree to slant on it. You have to know what's going on in Five Live. So don't be throwing any flowers at yourself. I think anybody could do that. I would. Be
anybody could do this job, is that right?
Not anybody, but most people would be able to handle it.
I think I probably agree with you.
You think yous are bigger than the show. John Humphrey said that. You think yous get too big for your boots, and you think, me almighty show, when Vinny can do just as well on a Mickey Mouse salary, probably.
Listen, thanks, sir. Thanks very much. 0303 80 55 55. The text 8177 or the email Nolan at bbc.co.uk. I'm laughing to myself because just to tell you a little code of practice in here, if anybody's ever calling the show to criticise me, anything like that, they actually go to the very top of the queue. So if you want on the Nolan Show first, I hear some presenters saying, oh, if you're a female caller, or if you're a first-time caller, you'll get on the programme. Well, if you're slagging off the host of this show, that's where you get on first and foremost.